What is up, fellas? Welcome back to yet another episode of the Josh Cast. We're really doing it. We're three episodes deep. It's funny because back in 2018, with my first attempt with this podcast, I actually only made it to two episodes. So we're completely breaking new ground here. I'm pretty excited. So to start off with this bad boy, I want to give you guys a little update as to what I've been doing. You know, like a little life update, I guess. I'm basically playing the waiting game because I've got all these projects that I've been working on that I'm finally done with. And now I can sort of just take a break until I start announcing everything. And I gotta be honest, like taking breaks is something that I am not familiar with whatsoever. Pretty much my whole career, I've never really taken a full break, you know? I can make it about 2 to 3 days, and then I start losing my mind. Like, I get real fidgety. I have to get back to work. Like, I always have to be working on something. And if you know anything about the Sigma male grind set that I've undertaken in my life, it's not the healthiest way to live. I have so many people around me who are like, Josh, you need to take a break, man. Like, you're overworking yourself. You're just turning into Gollum from Lord of the Rings. So yeah, I mean, maybe I work too much. Maybe my sleeping schedule has been ruined for the past 5 years. But I think I finally got myself to a spot with music and everything where all my stuff is lined up, it's ready to drop. I can just sort of sit back, go outside, take in some sunlight, smell the roses. And I really do think that this is like a problem that content creators in general have. It's basically like this constant drive. And I heard this phrase from some like entrepreneur or whatever, but they're basically saying like, if you're not posting, if you're not like putting content out there, you don't exist. And I feel like that's such an unhealthy way to look at it because, you know, we have people on Twitch, right, who are doing subathons wherever they're streaming for like days on end, sacrificing their mental health in order to continue grinding and getting a following. I just feel like in the whole content creator world, you know, like YouTubers, musicians, Twitch streamers, gamers, stuff like that, we have this sort of problem of not really, you know, asking ourselves if we are truly like happy with what we're doing, or if we need to like take a break just to relax a bit, just to sort of, you know, recharge our batteries. And that's certainly something that I'm guilty of, because whenever I get on a roll with like an album or songs that I'm working on or whatever project I have going on at the time, I will just work on that straight nonstop, no breaks, just not really considering my own mental health because I'm focused on the next goal and achieving that goal. Which it brings us back to the first episode where I was talking about chasing your dreams. And that is one thing I forgot to add in there, that you should always know to pace yourself and know your limits. Don't push yourself to an extreme wherever you end up burnt out and unhappy and stuff. I definitely think that, you know, me and fellow content creators alike should start taking breaks here and there from time to time just to really like look at life and think about the things that we're working towards and all that. You know, make sure our motives are you know, sound and correct and leads to something good for society, for yourself, for everyone else around you. So yeah, that's my long-winded way of saying I'm taking a break. And when I say I'm taking a break, I'm basically referring to taking a break from like music, just, you know, taking like a month or two off basically. And in that time, I'm still going to be dropping songs and stuff. I'm still going to be announcing stuff. So it'll be like I'm not really taking a break, but I am. I'm pretty excited about it, too, because now I can focus on like physical health and stuff. I actually I'm picking up a little bit of boxing. I'm not saying I'm gonna get in the ring or anything, but I'm just picking up like, you know, hitting the bag, shadow boxing, just learning the ropes a little bit, you know? I got a treadmill set up, I got weights and all that. Basically got the perfect home gym set up, and I'm just gonna hit it real hard. It's definitely gonna be a transition for me, I guess, because I am so used to making music and creating all the time that it's hard to just let it go and just focus on my own mental health, my physical wellness, all that stuff. And then whenever it's time to, you know, get back into the studio, get back to making music, I'll be fully recharged, ready to go, ready to make the best stuff I ever made. And I will tell you guys, I think you're going to be really excited to see what I have in store for these announcements. I'm so stoked. And it's not only about the stuff that I talked about in the last episode. Like, there's way more to come. And the cool thing with taking a break, too, is that I can finally, you know, catch up on some of the TV shows and movies that I've been wanting to see. And also video games as well. Like, there's that Lego Star Wars video game that's coming out. And I don't mean to sound like a man-child when I say that I'm excited for the Lego Star Wars video game. But I'm excited for it, man. It's going to be cool. The only downside to the game is that it's not multiplayer, which is kind of a bummer because I was looking forward to playing, like through the whole saga with people and maybe even doing, like, videos about it and stuff, or like videos playing through it with friends and, you know, cutting together the funny moments. But, you know, they made it where it's a solo or a single player only, which is kind of lame. I feel like it not having multiplayer just kind of, like, kills the lifespan of the game. Like, they could have, you know, had content for years because of that, from, like, people playing it together and stuff, but now it's just you play through it on your own. You might play it once or twice and that's it. But I'm still excited for it. I think it's going to be a fun time. And, you know, speaking of movies and entertainment type stuff, we got to talk about that Joker deleted scene from the Batman. That was crazy. I don't even know why it was a deleted scene. I thought it was a perfect entrance for Joker if they had included that. You know, you have this whole Hannibal Lecter thing wherever Batman's interviewing the Joker about the Riddler trying to find out, you know, trying to get inside the mind of a criminal. And the whole time, the Joker's just toying with Batman, trying to get inside his head. And it's a really cool dynamic. And I will admit, back whenever I first saw the movie and there was that scene, you know, with the Joker sort of just kind of tacked on the end of the movie, I was having doubts about this version of the Joker because that scene just didn't feel very strong. There was no real presence of the Joker with that. It just felt strange. But with this deleted scene, it was just a night and day difference. And I think it's great that they decided to release this deleted scene because it sort of clears up any confusion or doubt that a lot of the fans had. And yeah, I mean, I'm all for this version of the Joker. Elvis the Alien actually tweeted out asking people's opinions, and I said, I think it's time that we got a really disgusting looking Joker. It's great. And I think there's a lot of potential for, like, future movies to really highlight the relationship that the Joker does have with Arkham, because he is in and out of it in the comics, and we never really get to see that in the movies. And I feel like this design of the Joker, with how disturbing it is, it would work so well in some type of, like, horror movie setting with Arkham, because, like, with the Joker teaming up with the Riddler at the end of the Batman, it really lends itself to like, you know, they take over Arkham, Batman has to come in and get it under control. And there could be some great moments in, like, low light situations with the Joker that could be terrifying. And I've been looking around. I haven't really seen anybody making any real major complaints about this version of the Joker. The only thing I will say, and I think this might be one of the reasons why this scene got deleted, is that I feel like in the Batman universe and all the Batman movies, we're focusing too much on the Joker. Like we need to highlight some of the other villains. Like, there are surprisingly other villains out there. It doesn't have to be the Joker every single time. If they're planning on incorporating the Joker into, like, the rest of the movies in the series, what I would say is they should just keep it down to interrogation scenes at most and sort of allude to something bigger that's going to happen, maybe for the finale of the series, like the last movie. Like, maybe in the sequel to the Batman, at most we see him escape at the end, and then in the third, and maybe that's the final movie, then that's wherever the Joker becomes the main antagonist. But I do want to see the Court of Owls at some point in some type of Batman movie. Like, that has to happen. I would even go so far as to say, like, we've seen enough of the Joker. Just focus on the Court of Owls. Like, build up to that. That would be so sick. That's a storyline that we haven't seen on film yet, and I know for a fact it would fit in with the whole cinematic universe that Matt Reeves is building. But I will say, if they decide to make the Joker the next villain or whatever, I won't be too butthurt about it. I think it'll be cool, because this version of Joker looks pretty good. Next up, what I want to talk about is Fortnite. I know a lot of people, you know, either love or hate it, but I do want to talk about this because recently they decided to remove building. And I gotta say, I think this is the perfect move that the game could have done, because now so many people that wouldn't have played the game because of all the sweaty people, you know, you shoot them once and they build Trump Tower or whatever. Now it's like it's almost perfect for casual players. I feel like for the first time since, like, 2018, people are excited about the game again. And I've actually gotten people messaging me asking to play who would never play it before because of the building. So I don't know, maybe if I start, you know, doing gaming videos like I've been talking about, maybe I can throw Fortnite into the rotation. I don't know if you guys would like to see that or not. I know a lot of people are kind of iffy on Fortnite or whatever, but listen, I got a creator code in Fortnite, okay? I gotta tell you, like, one of the few things that would get me through, you know, being on tour, on the road and stuff, that lifestyle, was having a Nintendo Switch with Fortnite on it and just sort of you know, escaping for a little bit. But yeah, if you guys would like to see that, maybe just comment, let me know, and I could throw that into the rotation. So the next thing I want to talk about is this whole Will Smith, Chris Rock at the Oscars thing, and this is crazy, man. So, like, I don't usually watch the Oscars. I wasn't watching it this time. The only movie I really cared about was Dune, and that movie pretty much ended up wiping the floor at the Oscars. It was sick. They got, like six of them. The Zack Snyder cut of the Justice League also got some type of, like, honorary fan favorite thing, and I think it's sick that the Oscars are finally, like, recognizing big blockbuster movies or like superhero stuff, because usually they don't like to recognize that type of stuff. It's real, you know, prestigious and artsy. But yeah, I mean, aside from those things, I wasn't really paying attention to the Oscars. I wasn't even gonna really like talk about this on the podcast up until it was just a normal night. I was playing video games, just vibing, and out of nowhere, Twitter just gets lit aflame. So, I mean, I imagine you guys probably already have a pretty decent idea of what happened. Chris Rock was doing some type of like monologue for the Oscars, and he made a joke about Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, and he made fun of her alopecia. And then Will Smith just walks on stage and just decks Chris Rock. And then he goes back to his seat. He yells, "Keep my wife's name out of your mouth," and everything resumes. And like, that was already crazy enough, but then 20 minutes later, Will Smith wins an Oscar for Best Actor. Hell of a night for Will Smith, I gotta say. So, you already know, I've been scrolling through Twitter, looking at all the memes of this and everything, and like, it's really crazy how fast people are to make memes about any situation, like, as soon as it happens. Like, just to think about how far we've come as a society that, you know, 10 minutes after Will Smith punches Chris Rock, there's already a Minecraft edit of it. But the thing that's really interesting to me is that I've been scrolling through Twitter, and I've been scrolling through YouTube, and it's so strange seeing the divide amongst everybody. Like the mass populace on Twitter says that it was the perfect thing that he did. There was nothing wrong with it. It makes sense. And then you go on YouTube and everybody's like, "Oh, this is disgraceful. This is the worst thing I've ever seen." And it always happens whenever there's some type of like wild event that gets people talking. It's like you go on Twitter and you get one consensus from people, and then you go on YouTube and then there's a whole other consensus. But pretty much where I stand on it, I feel like Chris Rock definitely had it coming. There's no denying that. He made a bad joke. Ricky Gervais did the same thing at the Oscars that he hosted. I don't know what year that was, but he made some horrible jokes at the expense of people. And like, sure, you know, they karmically had it coming. But does it really give Will Smith the excuse to assault somebody? Like, yeah, it's definitely messed up that Chris Rock made that joke at the expense of Jada Pinkett Smith's condition. Totally messed up. And I respect the idea of Will Smith, you know, sticking up for his wife. There is some nobility in that. And, you know, as fun as the memes are, you know, it's like a scene out of a movie with that stuff happening. But I'm just not going to sit here and co-sign assault. I'm sorry. I just feel like there's a million better ways he could have gone about showing the world that that joke wasn't cool. Like, this dude is one of the biggest actors on the planet. He could have easily just written an article or I mean, he has a YouTube channel with like 10 million subscribers. He could have uploaded a video and explained like what alopecia is and why that joke wasn't cool. It could have been a great moment to like educate people. You know, maybe he could have even brought in Chris Rock and they sit down and talk about why he's upset about it. He could have even just pulled a Kanye moment. You know, he could have just took the mic from Chris Rock and said, "Yo guys, this isn't cool. This is what alopecia is, and that's a messed up joke." And another thing too is that everybody's talking about Will Smith and Chris Rock, but what about Jada Pinkett Smith? Why don't we hear from her, what she has to say about it? Maybe she just didn't like the joke and wanted to move on from the segment, but then Will Smith goes and slaps Chris Rock, and now it's what everybody is talking about. But yeah, that's basically all I wanted to say about it. You know, I don't condone what Will Smith did, but I do understand it to some degree. I mean, hopefully we can look at the situation and maybe the takeaway can be, you know, let's just treat people with more kindness. Just don't talk about other people's spouses and maybe you won't get slapped. Moving on, I do want to jump into some other stuff. I think I'm going to close out the podcast with a little Q&A section, but before we get into that, I did want to say I really appreciate your guys' response to the Grim Peaks zombies map that I was working on that I showed you in the last episode. It's so cool seeing you guys get hyped up and excited for something that isn't particularly music related, you know, same thing with the podcast as well. Like, I just want to say that I'm really appreciative of all the love that you guys have been showing lately. It's awesome. So the first question I want to answer, and this is kind of a confusing one. This person asked, "Why don't you rap anymore?" But I still do. I dropped Undefeated in January. Like 2 months ago, I was rapping my little head off. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was actually my fastest rapping on a song ever. I think a lot of people have this like slight misconception that because I drop a song like Cold Heart or a song where I like I'm mostly singing on it that I'm never going to rap again or that that's the only sound I'm going to do from here on out. But no, like as I drop music, I like to go back and forth with styles, you know. So, at some point I'm going to be dropping another project like You're Not Alone. I just like to I like to make music that I enjoy and approach styles that I enjoy, but I always come back to certain sounds that I feel like I was successful with. The next comment I want to respond to is, I know you said you were never going to make sequels, but if you could go back and make a sequel of or remake any album, which one would you choose? And my answer to that is Fearless. I would love to make a sequel to Fearless at some point. That's something that I most likely will do before, you know, I die, I guess. I really feel like Fearless is the album that's like the culmination of all my styles. There's like singing stuff on it. There's also rap. Like it really encompasses what I do best, I guess. So I think it would be great to do another album like that where it has a little taste of everything. And I'm not sure if I said this in a previous episode or not, but I had this idea for Fearless 2, which is like basically my own version of No Way Home, where I have all the different versions of my past self like interacting with each other. So there's like the Disgrace Josh A, the Blessed 2 Josh A, Retroland Josh A, like the Fearless Josh A, and then, you know, current Josh A. And it would be like me navigating, you know, trying to fix some type of world-ending problem or whatever, and we all have to work together. It's like my own version of No Way Home. And I think that would be a really sick concept for an album. And I haven't seen that be done before with an album, or like with the concept album. I've never seen that, and I think it would be an original idea. I'm just throwing it out there. Let me know what you guys think about that, if I should do that. I think that would be dope. This next comment, hi Josh, question for the next episode. Will you be doing more punk/rock tracks like you did with Negative Thoughts and Suicide Bins? Yeah, I've been thinking about it. The only thing is that I feel like that sound has become so popular now that it just wouldn't be something that I like enjoy, I guess. I don't know. I see a lot of people just jumping into pop punk and stuff because it's like the big cash grab now. And a lot of people who do it, like, they can't even play any instruments. So I don't know. Maybe. It just depends. If I come up with a song that I feel like works with it, then I'll drop it. But for the most part, I'm not, like, seeking it out right now. I will say, though, that in my free time, every once in a while, I'll make, like, a full-on, you know, 80s sort of power metal type track, like something like Metallica or even Sabaton. I really like that type of stuff, and that's just something that I make for fun. Maybe if I get enough of those tracks, I'll drop like an album of it on like a side project or something. It's not anything that I would put on Josh A or Literary Vibe, but it is kind of like a cool thing that I'd like to show you guys. I don't know if you guys really like rock stuff, but you know, maybe I'll throw it out there one day. Actually, you know what? Let me give you guys a little preview. You know, I'll show you what I do in my free time. So I'm just gonna play it from my phone. So yeah, it's kind of like some Call of Duty Zombies type stuff, you know? Some major dad rock vibes. This next comment, somebody said, can you add a Big Little Revive icon/3D model like above the map when you are at the parking lot lost? You can see the Grim Reaper, basically. I was thinking about that. That was so like what I want to do that I think would be way cooler than that is to get a 3D model of Little Revive and make that the character that you play as. And like maybe if you play with multiple people in the map, you're all Little Revive. I think that would be kind of cool. So that way you could see like the full body of the character, you know? For this next comment, somebody said, can you talk about the artist who inspired you? You stated that you were raised on Eminem and Nirvana already. I'd like to know what got you inspired about them. I also really like to hear you talk about games and nerdy shit. Much love. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. So, yeah, I mean, Eminem and Nirvana were the big ones as a kid. There was also Metallica and Slipknot. Slipknot was the band that got me to like, it like got me interested to play the guitar, and I mean all their riffs were like way too complex for starting out. So like eventually I went over to Nirvana because a lot of the guitar riffs in Nirvana were simple, and they're like easy learner songs. Like Come As You Are is a really easy to learn song, and Smells Like Teen Spirit. Like I love the simplistic energy of Nirvana. It's great. And Kurt Cobain, just as an artist, was somebody who's always inspired me. As a kid, I don't know who published this or what it was, but it was like, I I remember getting this at like Barnes and Noble or something, but I got this notebook from Kurt Cobain. It was like it was like a published book that had all of his like journal entries and stuff, and you could really see into the mind of him as an artist and like what he stands for, what he thinks about and stuff, and I really love that. And I'm hoping that that's sort of what this podcast can be like as well. It's like that's my own version of that for, you know, connecting with an artist and stuff. And then for the last comment that I'm going to answer for this episode is, what are some of your favorite artists / YouTubers? By the way, love the podcast and hyped about the zombies map. Yeah, for YouTube, I mean, I watch a lot of stuff. I'm pretty much all over the place with it. I mean, I'll listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. That was like a big one back when it was on YouTube. I'm also into The Last Podcast on the Left. And in addition for like specific YouTubers, I mean, I really like Donut Operator. Just anything involving true crime or anything with crime, I really like. I also love Mr. Ballin. I like JCS, that like crime channel where it's like just really long video essays breaking down interrogations. That's sick. And I also enjoy, you know, some comedy stuff, you know, like Curtis Connor, Danny Gonzalez, Drew Gooden. Those are all great. So yeah, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I think this was a nice little compact episode for you guys. I would rather focus on it being more about quality than quantity. I don't want to drone on for too long and bore you to death, but yeah, so I'll catch you guys in the next one. I'm going to try to make the schedule like Mondays, because I feel like that would be a great way for it, if you got to go to work or you got to go to school, at least on Mondays it makes the grind a little bit easier. Yeah, so yeah, I'll catch you guys later. I appreciate you listening if you made it this far, and yeah, see you in the next one.